Praise God. All right. Dun, dun, dun. You know what? I run into Gary at the hotel, and he's singing that song, and he's humming that. Went over to his room for coffee. He's humming it. I'm humming it. So it's a catchy thing, isn't it? Praise God. Well, Father, we worship you and glorify you. You are worthy to receive praise. Why don't you turn with me to John? We're going to go two places. Really, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 4 for just a few moments. But you can also turn to John, the 5th chapter. I just want to read one verse. I think I've really exhorted this here before, maybe in a previous conference, either last year or the year earlier, the last couple of years. But especially after what was taught yesterday, and I don't know if Gary's going to get into, the Holy Spirit has him get into any more of that, about the flatlanders and the dimensions. And we went through 1, 2, 3, and 4 dimensions yesterday, and you just have to be here. And I hope you were. If you weren't, get the messages. It's fantastic. But especially after what was gone over yesterday, I think this will even make more sense, even if you've heard me do it before. But let's go to John chapter 5 and verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, that's the Father, these also doeth the Son likewise. Amen. Now, how many of you, now you can turn with me to Matthew. That's where I ask you to go, Matthew chapter 4. How many of you know that Jesus was the perfect prototype of the obedient Son? Amen. Born of a virgin. There's no, I can't say creature, there's no individual, if you think about it, quite like Jesus, not taking anything away from God the Father or God the Holy Spirit, but in their essence, they're just, not say just, but that's who they are, full God and full just Spirit, Jehovah God, our Father, full God. The uniqueness about Christ is this. What an entity. He's full God and full man. Isn't that amazing? Born full deity, but born a human being with a new nature, or I'd say it was a new nature, but he wasn't born again. He received it from the get-go. He had it from conception. Now, he grew up, and he followed the leading of his Father. And we're going to pick up here in, I said chapter 3, or chapter 4, but let's look at chapter 3 for just a second. Verse 13 says this, Then cometh Jesus from Galilee unto Jordan, unto John, to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Allow it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him, or suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him, that's the Holy Spirit. And lo, a voice from heaven saying this. What did that voice say? Here's the Father. This is what? This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. I hope you've heard Gary do a teaching on this, about that coronation and what God saw that day, that Christ was making commitment. I'm going all the way with this. All the way. But this voice says, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then, next verse, chapter 4, Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards what? How many of you think you would be after 40 days and 40 nights? He was hungered. And when the tempter, that's the devil, when he came to him, he said, what did he say? If thou be what? The Son of God. Command these stones to be made bread. Now, what was the last? I know there's no chapters here, but what was the last thing that we saw in chapter 3? God the Father saying, this is my Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The very first thing that the tempter comes to him with, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And he answered and said, this is what Jesus' answer was, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but what? By every word that proceedeth and cometh out of the mouth of God. Well, what was the last word that he had just got? You are my son. That was the word. I mean, he said every word, so every word's every word. But he was, primarily what he was saying is this, the last thing I got from my father, the last thing that I heard from my father, you are my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. The tempter came to him and said, look, turn these stones into bread. Make this happen. The amazing part is this. Jesus had gone 40 days and 40 nights, and that's what the Holy Spirit had led him, and his hunger came back to him. His hunger came back. So he knew the culmination. He knew it was done. It was complete what he was supposed to do. At the end of his obedience, immediately, here comes the tempter. And he says to him, if you are the Son of God, then command these stones. Evidently, he was standing there close to stones. Command these stones to be made bread. And Jesus answered, we just read it, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. John chapter 5, 19. Everything that he sees, everything that he hears, whatever the Father is saying about every situation, that's the only thing that the obedient Son does in every situation. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The next two temptations, which we didn't go into, are pretty simple in the sense of knowing that they are temptations, knowing that they come straight from hell. I mean, the next one we didn't read was basically takes him to the pinnacle of the temple, says, jump off. Everybody knows it's a terrible thing. It's not right to attempt suicide. It's not right to tempt God to say, okay, if I do this, you're going to... I mean, anybody basically would kind of know that's wrong. That's terrible. That's not so subtle. It's blatant. The next one, the last temptation was he comes at him with the same thing that he came at Adam with. And that's the God complex. That's the lust of other things. And offered him all of the riches of the world. And he said, if you would bow down and worship me, I'll give. Now, you know this. You don't bow down and worship Satan. I mean, that's blatant. That's blatant. Those next two are not real. They're not, in a certain sense, real seductive or real, in a sense, hidden. You just serve right up in front of your face. But the first one is this. You've completed. He had completed what his father had asked him to do. And he says to him, well, turn these stones into bread. Now, the thing that that kind of just was a question in my mind, what would have been if Jesus would have said, okay, I am the Son of God. I know I am. And because I just heard my father say that. So I'm going to prove to you that I am the Son of God. And I'll just prove to you that you're contesting who I am. Watch this. Now, yesterday we had this beautiful illustration, and I can't go into that on the dimension 1, dimension 2, dimension 3, and dimension 4, which is the dimension that God dwells in. Jesus, Jesus, his new nature had come from his Father. He was a product, or he was a product of that fourth dimension. He was not. I love that thing yesterday where Gary was talking about is, you know, you remember that ball within the ball, and if the fourth dimension can see that ball actually coming out of that ball with no incisions inside of it, well, you'd have to hear it. But most of you were here. Jesus knew. He knew, and being the Logos, he knew that he could do that. He knew that he could lay hands on that, because now he does have power. Now he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He knew that he could turn those stones into bread. And my thought was this: what would have been wrong with that? I mean, there's no Old Testament law that says thou shalt not turn stones into bread. There's no Old Testament scripture that says you can't change. Don't change the molecular structure of anything on earth. In fact, the very first miracle that Jesus does is he goes into Canaan of Galilee and he changes the molecular structure of water into wine. So that's just what the Father does. He changes things here on this earth to meet our needs. So it would not have been wrong, Jesus, it would not have been wrong for him to do anything at that point in time and feed himself, because his fast was over. It would not have been wrong for him to change the molecular structure of... Now, those other ones, those other temptations, they're just blatant. The most subtle, maybe, of all the temptations is this: you becoming the answer for yourself. You not taking the time to listen and say, now, what is my Father saying about this? Do I react? Do I move out? Do I try to change stones into bread? You see, a lot of times we'll make our testimony and we'll say, look, boy, God, he's helping me to meet my that loan that I got at the bank. And he will. How many of you know that he will? God is helping me to, he helped me find the right doctor, or he helped me do this, and he will, if that's where we're at. But did you know that we're learning this week a realm that is a higher realm than the natural realm? And where does that realm begin? That realm really begins in the first place in saying, okay, before I do anything, before I react, before I respond, before I try in myself to produce something, I'm going to listen and say, okay, Father, what is your mind in this? What is your will? Now, Jesus went on to be fed by angels. How many of you would like to be fed by angels? Glory be to God. But the key to it is this: even in our financial blessings, it's not wrong, all those things that I mentioned. He'll get involved in any area of your life that he needs to take you to the next level. But here's where we're learning as sons, products of sons and daughters, and living in that fourth dimension where Jesus lived at, and say, okay, God, before I react, before I respond, what am I hearing you? Am I going to step inside this situation, give a testimony that God did something, and maybe he did, but was it on a 30, 60, or was it 100-fold? The only way that we'll know that we're getting exactly what God wants is that we stop and say, okay, Father, don't let me turn any situation in this life, even in my provision. Let me wait on you and hear what you have to say before I move out. And when I do, I won't be turning stones into bread. I'll be absolutely receiving the bread, which is the wisdom and the mind of God for me for every situation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you know he's your provider? He is your provider. How many of you know he wants to get involved in every part of your life? Would you just ask him right now? Why don't you say this prayer with me? Father, I thank you that you love me so much that, Lord, all the stones that I've turned into bread before, Lord, I'm asking you from this point further to guide me, that everything that happens in my life, it's not me, but I'm waiting and listening. I call you my provider, and I thank you that I have more than enough to sow into every good work. Hallelujah. Praise God.